It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 129, New Era, the Survivor News Edition. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah. Thank you for tuning in this week. Baby boy had to take a break, coming back from Heart's Reality and throwing the Bryce and Wynn Present Hoboken finale party. Whoo, it was a lot. I just want to give a huge shout out to all of the survivors that came out, all of the friends and family that came out to watch this historic conclusion of this season. I won't talk about it too much because that's what the podcast is for, but I just wanted to make sure that if you guys are not subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We're there. Give your baby boy some 5 stars and write a review. Also, you can follow along to this podcast on my YouTube page, Bryce Isaiah. Go over there, subscribe, give the video a thumbs up. Listen, baby boy is still in recovery mode, okay? Listen, I did Heart Surreality, Bryce and Wynn Present, and baby boy had to work. I'm still trying to recover, but I was so excited to watch this conclusion of this episode. It was truly historic. I won't give any spoilers in the event that somebody that listened hasn't watched, but by now you should have watched. But I'm excited to be joined this week by the baby boy Jack Atkins and Wendell Holland, and we're gonna break it all down. So listen, I won't say too much more. Let's get this menu started.
It's a man who, it's a menu. Me and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a menu. Me and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
Hello, and we are back this week.
Why y'all looks excited?
We are back this week with your Survivor News. You have your baby boys. Let's give a warm welcome to the Jack that is the Atkins. Welcome back to the podcast.
What's up? Sorry I missed last week. I'm glad you got a good substitution, but I was so happy to be live and in person with you guys last night for the finale episode. So, lots to talk about.
Yeah. Yes.
And somebody say we upgraded last week.
Most people would probably say that, and I would have probably agree. So we're back to the low levels here.
All right. What I love about the YouTube comments are I live for them. Somebody was like, Jack got 10. Yeah,
I was in Florida, so.
Yes, and shout out to all of our YouTube watchers. If you are just joining us, welcome. Please make sure you subscribe to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up, okay? And of course, we have to welcome back the one, the only, it is the win to the DEZ coming in live from Ardmore, Pennsylvania. 2-time champ belt winner. I don't know. He the 1-time champ belt winner. Welcome to the
I'm the people's champ, Bryce.
Okay, the people's champ.
He's the only champ.
The Ghost Island welterweight champion. The people's champ. Welcome to the podcast, Kylan. I mean, Wendell Holland.
Wendell Kylan.
Oh.
Wendell Kylan in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah, we are back to the Purple Pants podcast. Listeners, listen, baby boy had to take a hiatus. I had a lot going on from Hearts of Reality to the Bryce and Wynn Presents the finale in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Killed it.
You did that, Bryce.
Yeah, we had our baby boy Jack there. Wendell was there. We had Sari. We had Victoria. We had Aaron. I don't know why I want to say Aaron Carter. Aaron Meredith. We had Joe Minna. We had, who was from Joe's season that was there? Wendell.
Ryan Ulrich.
Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I was severely intoxicated. Oh. I won't lie to you. I remember meeting Ryan.
We had Kimmy. No,
slow down. Ryan, man, I really like that guy a lot, and I hadn't seen him in so long. I messaged him a week or two ago, just saying, "Hey, how you doing?" And then all of a sudden, Joe Men is like, "I got a surprise for you," and I see it's Ryan. I gave him the biggest hug ever, man. It was so good to see him.
He was dope.
Yeah, but he was in and out. Like, he dipped out. He pulled a Bryce Isaiah Irish exit on us.
Once he saw Final Trouble Council, he was getting nightmares on how to go home. No shade, though. He was a great player.
We had a big, big brother presence. OV.
Christian,
a.k.a. Jamal, Kemi. A.k.a. Khalil, Kemi. Yeah, the Bryce.
Tommy.
Oh, my baby.
Tommy's the life of the party.
Tommy. It was, when I tell y'all, like, first of all, y'all can see through my eyes, baby boy is tired.
We had Marie from The Challenge.
Michelle Fitzgerald.
Michelle, the queen.
Saree. Did you all say Saree?
He said Saree.
Yeah. Jack is still drunk.
Yes.
No. But I will admit, it was, I just stood in the corner the whole time, watched the episode, and just hammered drinks. And I ended up crying in the corner. Ovi had to calm me down.
Why were you
crying?
For
no reason. When Xander decided not to go to fire, I thought it sealed his fate. And I don't know why. He still did a great job, but all of a sudden I was flooded with emotions. Yeah. I was flooded with Casamigos, and I just had a little breakdown. And then I just pulled myself together. I was like, all right, we're back. We're chilling. I don't know why. I don't know what happened, but
I get it. You knew what he had to do at that moment.
Yeah. And even if he did what I thought he had to do, I don't know if it works, but I just felt like that kind of, what was the nail in the coffin? And it was just tough to see the journey come to an end. You know, I was holding out hope that he would win, but I mean, it was just a lot of emotions going on for me. So
yeah. Hatch told us about you a little bit too.
Yeah.
About what?
Jack was like, I need you here. I got to listen. Jack was under.
What are you talking about?
Jack was under a TV, y'all. But like underneath the bar, under a TV by a speaker so he could hear. That's how committed Jack Atkins was to watching the Survivor episode.
Yeah, I tried to sit with everybody and I just can't get, like, I got so many fans, Wendell, that I just kept getting distracted. And I was like, I need to watch this episode.
Yeah, Hatch let us know. Hatch let us know that you boxed him out so you could be under a speaker.
I was chilling with Hatch. I don't know. This is slander. I'd like to have a word with Hatch.
But
now you want to have, sorry.
We just want to give a warm thank you to everyone that came out to the Bryson Wynn Presents and show love. It was a spectacular time. A huge shout out to our sponsors. High Noon and Corona was in the building, giving out prizes. Just the fan love, just to be able that embraced us this season on the Bryson
Wynn Presents. It was an amazing turnout. It was an amazing turnout.
It was, yeah.
It's unbelievable to see how we can go to different cities and we get hundreds of friends coming and celebrating this thing that we love. It's incredible. It's humbling. We did it in New York. We did it in DC. We did it in Philly. Now we did it in Hoboken. And I feel like I could cry like Jack right now. You know, I just feel it makes me emotional. And what's the best part is, we're seeing familiar faces a lot of these times. We're seeing the Survivor Philly people.
Yes.
We're seeing our friends from New York. We're seeing your interns. We're seeing people that worked in the Survivor community, the RHAB community. It's like, it's so beautiful to like really become friends with all these people. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can do more.
Yeah. I echo the same thing. I think that it is just so special. And again, like, it's not fans, it's friends, because it's like, you know, you really get to know these people. Shout out to Josh Green, who's been to every one of our events. Shout out to Brandon Nolan, who's been to every one of our events. Shout out to my girl. Oh my God, her name is slipping me, but she literally had a master's presentation in the morning. She's from Philly, but she drove.
Yes.
To Hoboken to come kick it with your baby boys. Mm. And it's just amazing and so special. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be a third boot, but to be able to like kick it and watch Survivor with so many people. Again, I just want to give a huge shout out to everyone that came out. Like, what was your experience, Shaq? Like, what did you expect? Like, what did you think?
I mean, I had a great time. Like I said, I was very locked into the episode, but when I was talking to fans before, after, making friends, it was a great group, such a social group too. You know, sometimes you'll be at events and sometimes there would be some awkwardness, but there was no awkwardness at the event. It was packed out. It felt like you were at the bar on a Friday night with your friends. It was only a Wednesday. And then we add to that by having, you know, the Survivor finale. So it was a great experience. It gave me a lot to learn for when we do Jack and Zam Presents out of Chicago. We're taking over the game, but no, it was fantastic. It was great to be there.
Shout out to the people that came solo. We pride ourselves in people coming solo and leaving, having the best night of their lives, having friends, having a new community. And I make it a point to ask people if they came solo, because people do. And it's that welcoming of an atmosphere. So shout out to them. Shout out to the venue, 80 River. Shout out to the
fire,
DJ. It was great.
Yeah. No one made fun of me for crying. And the set and repeat out front was great. Whoever put that together. Step and repeat. Whoever did. That's like what people are trying to teach me how to dance, but whoever put that together did a great job.
So we gave Jack one job to put the step and repeat together. You know, before our events, we always go and set up. And so it's Wendell turns into an eventzilla. And we get to the venue, and I think it's so funny. Like, we're like, we got to do this, we got to do that. Jack's like, can I go get something to eat?
Comes back with coffee, donuts.
And the coffee fueled me for the rest of the day to help out even harder. So, you know, once I got the coffee, I was putting in work overtime. I said, Wendell, this U-shape's got to go.
Oh, God, yes.
We ain't going to talk about that U-shape.
Yes. And also, shout out to the Survivor Philadelphia cast. They've been coming in and greeting us as well. So we love to see it. But listen, we can jitter and jatter and kiki another time. We got to get to this finale, okay?
Let's do it.
New era. Okay, they mean it. So listen, let's get right into this episode. So we have our final, I believe it's five. It's Xander, Erica, Deshaun, and Heather.
And Ricard.
And we're on a new island. Last episode, Jeff was like, listen, babe, we doing stuff a little different this go around. We're going to a whole new island. So they get to a new island and it ain't nothing there. They got a pot and maybe two cups of rice. We see that the next morning, Deshaun really wants to talk to Erica because Deshaun was dropping them truth bombs and Erica was trying to save him. And Erica ain't want no parts of it. Erica said, listen, this ain't the time. This ain't the place. And I don't got nothing for you today.
She have nothing for him.
Head back to camp.
Yes, you know, and Ricard really kind of sort of was feeding into this Erica and Deshaun. You know, he was like telling Erica, like, listen, why would he do that? He just sealed his deal. And, you know, Ricard is really trying to be like, listen, if it's Deshaun is the target, then it ain't me. But listen, baby boy, we love you, Ricard, but you the target. Okay. Like,
what I will take my Ricard played the game until the end, though. Like some players you see kind of give up. They know it's the, you know, Ricard worked every angle.
Whoa.
Oh. Ricard worked every angle and he tried to get in wherever he could. And he talked to Xander and it sounded like he could convince Xander to use his idol form. And like Ricard was just, I appreciate a player that's willing to play till the end. And Ricard did that.
He left no rock unturned.
But at the end of the day, his target was bigger than anybody's out there by far.
Yeah.
And that's what like me and Dom asked each other, you know, watching this season, we're like, you know what would have happened if we would have went for each other? What happened with Shannon Ricard? Because we were two big dogs out there. We agreed to stay the course because we didn't want to expose ourselves. And in this case, Ricard got rid of Shan when Ricard was like a number one target already. And then every episode, he's like, he's at the forefront and more and more glaring. So.
Right. And an alliance that has stayed together was Erica and Heather. However, you know, with Deshaun dropping them truth grenades, it kind of sort of like, you know, he said he wanted to cause like friction to see if he could like, you know, cause some confusion and break up some of these tight bonds. And it seemed like he might have succeeded because Erica went to talk to Heather and Heather said, I ain't got nothing for you. No, actually, Heather said no comment. She had absolutely nothing for her. And I was a little surprised at that. Like, I can understand that you are upset, but I feel like it's your closest alliance. Like, you know, like you will want to stick together, make it work.
Yeah. So I think now, granted, I didn't watch as diligently as I could have because of the party and the hosting and everything like that. And I didn't get my rewatch. So Bryce, you and Jack are schooling me to this, but I will say sometimes like Heather, what it appeared was that Heather was one of those players that get taken to the end. And sometimes those players aren't the big strategic players. And in this case, a good player should know to like piece things up after something happens, you know, always leave doors open and always, you know, leave options available and work every angle like Ricard. In her case, if she's shutting Erica down, maybe it's a sign of the level of her gameplay.
Yeah. I mean, or she was hurt, you know, like you said, I would think that she would have the know-it-all.
Not this again.
To know that, like, okay, I can be mad at you, but I still need to work with you. Then we get this final advantage clue. It's solve the phrase to find the advantage. And once you solve the phrase, then it gives you this, what you say. It says,
I can't talk.
Once you solve the phrase, it gives you a clue and you can go actually find this idol. And I believe the phrase was, your treasure hangs where the trees love to dance. Okay. Your treasure hang where the trees love to dance. Your treasure hang where the trees love to dance. Hold on, I didn't mess up the beat. Because your treasure hang where the trees love to dance. Your treasure hang where the trees love to dance. Your treasure hangs where the trees love to dance. The dance.
Is that a pussy willow?
It is.
Oh my god.
Don't talk about his willow like that.
Bryce. Is that a bussy willow?
In this house it is. Yes.
Bryce, but we got off track, but
did we?
Keep going.
So I believe Xander solves the puzzle first and he takes off running. Then Ricard. Then Deshaun, then Heather, and Erica was the last person to be looking. And I thought Deshaun was like so funny. Like while he's looking at it, he's like, "There's trees all over this island. Come on, Jack." Like Deshaun. But little did they know, Erica was the last person, but she found the clue. And basically the clue was you would have an advantage at the next game. And like we said before, Ricard still playing this game. He kind of sort of comes up with this plan. Him and Erica are like, let's not tell Deshaun that you found the idol. Let's continue to allow him to exert his energy so that like we can send him home. Cause Ricard is like, listen, let's get him out. Like Ricard is really on this choo-choo train to get Deshaun out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Always playing.
And then, I mean, then we see the challenge and her advantage comes into play. And I thought it was a pretty overpowered advantage in a challenge, but
yeah,
she did a good job with it. So yeah, it was a fun challenge.
So the challenge was that they had like these ladder. I'm probably going to say this wrong, but these ladder prongs, and they were hanging. You had to get them, knock them down, then create a ladder, climb up. Then there was a circle loop that you had to dip in and out to make another ladder. And Erica got the advantage of having four prongs put on her, each of the ladders. And it really actually helped out a lot because we see she was killing it. However, during the challenge, Xander left a prong, had to go back. But he, is it a prong?
It's a rung. A
rope?
I guess.
He left, rope, did he leave prong. A rope?
He left a rope, but it's not, they didn't use the term rope.
Do you hang it on the rungs?
Okay, yeah, that's what I mean. That, you know, y'all get the gist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Xander left one, had to go back, but Baby Boy was still killing it and still was able to compete. Then they had to put a 75 piece puzzle together and y'all would have had me there. Okay. I would have got to the top and been like, you know what? Y'all got it. I'm not going to puzzles and 75 pieces.
That's a lot of pieces.
Chalet. Okay. If it ain't chicken nuggets, I don't need 75 pieces of that.
Well,
a puzzle like that.
Yeah, it looks like a good puzzle.
Yeah.
But yeah, Erica's advantage clearly helps out, and she ends up winning the challenge, individual immunity. And where do we want to take it from here? Just going back to camp. I mean, there's a lot to break down this episode. So I think going back to camp, we see Ricard continues to pitch hard.
Before we get there, though, the reward was immunity and you get a steak and veggie and wine. And Erica got to pick somebody with her. And it was very smart of her. She picked Heather. And her and Heather were able to have a heart to heart and really talk about, like, you know, like Heather actually was saying that, you know, she doesn't want to feel like she's a goal and that like she has a lot to offer and that it really kind of like hurt her feelings. She still trusts Erica and they were just able to piece it up. And it was really just a touching moment just to see the two people that have been at the bottom and really been the swing votes a lot of the time to see them kind of connect and really like, you know, for me, it on another level, I got to see Heather a little bit more. And I feel like we haven't seen a lot of Heather during these episodes or this whole season, but you know, it was really good to see like where her mind was coming from. She was really upset with Deshaun because she was saying, it's not so much the fact of that you wanted to get rid of me, Erica. It was how Deshaun presented it. It just made me feel less than. And completely can understand that. So Erica and Heather piece it back up together and they are, you know, really, really good. While we are back at camp, and Xander and Ricard have a really kind of touching moment in the sense of Ricard reveals to Xander that he's having another child and that, like, you know, this experience really means a lot to him. And, you know, Xander really kind of says, like, I might play my idol for you. And when I heard that at the party, I'm like, baby boy.
Everybody was like, baby boy.
They were.
I'm curious to know, like, what your thoughts are on his reasoning. He said, like, if he were to consider this, it was because he wanted people to know that he's in control of his game and can steer a move and bring in the people that he wants to bring in. Like, what do y'all think of that? Is that, like...
I mean, I just think it was a classic case of, you know, you're going to speak out all your options in your confessional and talk about it. And they're going to show something to make it a little bit more climactic. I don't think he was ever seriously considering. I mean, obviously, in an ideal world, he probably wishes he could take Ricard just for because of their friendship. But he knows. I think he knew in the moment that you got to take out Ricard while the iron's hot. There's really no benefits of bringing him along because he's still a big threat to win the final four immunity challenge as well. So it's not like you're dragging a threat who's probably not going to win. Maybe you could chop them at four. He's a big threat to win the challenge. So had to get rid of him while you could.
I think Jack's absolutely right. I think he told Ricard what he wanted to hear. And I think in the confessional, they know what questions to ask you to get you to say the right thing to make for some suspense for this episode.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we get the tribal and another interesting thing happens is that like Jeff goes right to Ricard and basically says like you're a target, you know, and Ricard kind of pushes back and it's like everyone thinks that I'm like running the show and that I'm controlling this, but I'm really not. And I'm like, but aren't you? Like, so I was just curious to know, like, do you really feel like what Ricard was saying in that moment? Like, I'm actually not running the show. If I were running the show, I would have got Deshaun out already. Or do you feel like he is just trying to like put distance between himself and him actually being the target?
I just think he's saying whatever, you know, whatever.
If I'm really running the show, then I'd get him out.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that didn't make much sense. But I mean, yeah, when your back's against the wall, you're just going to throw whatever you can to see what sticks and whatever. I mean, Ricard's such a target. It's like it wasn't a great pitch, but if you're that big of a target, how do you really take that off yourself just through your words? You know, it's tough to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it seemed like the writing was on the wall because it seemed like Jeff kind of like gave Ricard a chance to read his obituary, his survivor obituary a little bit. And again, we get to see this more full-rounded player that Ricard is. And Ricard talks about how he didn't think that he would be good at challenges. You know, him coming out on Survivor, him actually being good, him revealing that he's missing out on his, he shares with everyone that, like, you know, he doesn't know whether or not his child was born, if his husband had the baby, and, you know, it was a sacrifice for him, and that he really kind of goes, came out of Survivor knowing that, like, he's that number one, he that boy. And it's like, you know, he was saying, like, I might be the best. I could still be one of the greats to have never won Survivor. And that was just really powerful because, and Jeff co-signed it, like, some of the greats never will win Survivor. Okay. And I felt like he was talking to me. So I said, okay, Jeff.
He was talking right to you. Did he said your name, right?
Yeah, he said Bryce. Oh, okay. He said dot, dot, dot.
So, I mean, I just appreciated seeing the vulnerability of Ricard and him just being open and just sharing with us that, like, you know, he's a challenged beast and he know that he could do it. And I just think, again, it's just encouraging, especially with representation on the season, to see me being an openly gay Black man, to see a gay man of color out there, not only killing the game, but controlling it, being the number one target. It is quite opposite from what we are used to growing up, being teased, being bullied. And I think for us to have a role model in the LGBTQ plus community, I think is such an amazing thing. And I think Ricard played an amazing game and it was so good to see. Now, the salty part was, then Xander was like, but wait, Jeff, I got this little thing in my pocket.
Oh,
and I don't need to bring any trophies or anything home. And you could see the look in Ricard's face. Ricard was like, oh, baby boy about to do it for me. And Xander said, I'm playing it for myself. And I mean, you know, how did the votes go, Jack?
Unanimous against Ricard. So, yeah, I mean, it made sense to me. Yeah, it kind of, I felt like that's how it was going to go as soon as Ricard lost the challenge. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Finally, yeah. Like, finally, y'all got Ricard out. And but furthermore, the show did him justice and gave him a hero's exit, hero music. Mm-hmm. They gave, like Bryce said, he spoke his own obituary. And yeah,
it was a good send off. It was kind of a foregone conclusion, but we lose Ricard. So now we're at the final four. They head back to camp. And then this is where there's a big storm too, right?
Yeah.
In this next scene.
This is giving me Kageyan vibes. Y'all know I was only out there, you know, for 11 days. I don't know if you know, Jack, I didn't make the merge.
No.
But, you know, on like our third night, it poured. And I don't know if y'all know what it's like to just like have your clothes on, jump in a pool and then try to sleep. I just really, I felt for them. Just no shelter, no nothing. But then what I love about this episode is that we get to see a more confident Zaddy. Like Xander's like, I don't need to sleep. If this makes my competitors weak and tired, I'm here for it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. I mean,
Bryce, how do you feel about that?
I mean, about what? Xander giving like a villain edit?
You were like, oh.
Xan, if you nasty car. Okay, listen, I'm here for it. I like the more well
the naughty Xan.
Xan got naughty.
Yeah.
But listen,
that's what suburban moms say to go to sleep early. A naughty Xan.
Wait, wouldn't that be if he stayed up late?
No, Xan puts you to sleep.
Oh, you know what? But yeah. I did get a little jealous at Tribal because I think that...
jealous?
Yes, Xan said that him and Ricard had a bromance. And I said, excuse if what?
Yeah, you were at the bar. You were mad. You kicked someone out. You said you.
A-Dub.
Get the fuck out.
Oh God!
Oh, Jack. I'm just quoting. I'm just quoting.
Jack, you kiss your mother with that mouth?
No.
So yeah, it was interesting. So then we're at the final four. We've got Erica, Zaddy, Deshaun, and Heather. And when I saw this final four, I started to like think about like when I first saw the cast. And what I love about Survivor is that like, you never know who the final four, who the final five going to be in this life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have looked at that cast photo
and picked this four. Yeah.
And I love the journey. I feel like I'm literally so invested in Survivor that like I literally give it my all every week, in the sense of I'm screaming, I'm tweeting, I'm talking with y'all. And I feel like so much has happened this season that, you know, when we started to see like, you know, the final edit and the final reels of them, and like, you know, I almost forgot about like broccoli is like little trees. I almost forgot about Nasir.
Yeah, you look back to like the pre-merge and it feels right. Like it was a long time ago, even though it was like 2 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Brad.
Right. Oh my God. Yes.
Baby. Abraham.
Abraham. Shout out to
JD.
JD.
Shout out to Sarah. But yeah. The whole squad.
Yeah, and also, if y'all have not, I think Abraham has been like covering the season on his Instagram. Like he gives his thoughts, and it's a pretty good watch. I enjoy Abraham. I feel like he is a robbed god in the season of. I feel like we could have got some great content from Abraham, because he is just seeing his personality is really funny.
Next time I have finals, you could sub him in for me.
he listens. He's a Purple PS Posse member.
Is he giving you A-dub?
You know, he's giving me Abraham.
A-dubraham.
Yes. So we get to this final immunity challenge where you have to navigate a curved walkway and you got to spell out final four on the blocks. And then you got to hold the rope and walk it back.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you got to like reach. And then you got to...
Yeah.
Why are your chin so tight?
Because you gotta like keep.
Are you holding the rope with
I'm
your
holding
chin?
No, but like, it like gives you more. You know, like it.
Do that again.
If you can constrict your neck muscle, it's like less wiggle. So you can hold the rope a lot tighter and walk more.
How did you do at this challenge, Bryce?
Well, I did this challenge in South Africa when you two were eliminated for the final three.
Oh.
How'd you do in that?
I lost. and so it was a rather riveting challenge in the sense of Erica was out here killing it. Xander was slow and steady wins the race. Deshaun was all over the place. And Heather just couldn't seem to get right.
Surprise.
Don't do that. All the people that she could beat her on the jewelry.
Yeah, so. No, that's true.
So it was, I love these type of challenges, but when I love Xander, but for a more climactic moment, I almost wanted him to drop it and to have it like a everybody's race in the sense that I felt like if he were to drop it,
it could have been anyone's game.
It could have been anyone's game. But again, like I'm a weird Survivor fan that like when stuff like this happens, I always like to see the pressure, like because then if Erica is in the lead, then it's like.
It's you're doing a little extra there. Yeah,
it's the pressure on her, and it's like it's interesting to see how they do with that pressure. However, Zaddy Zan remained composed. Mm-hmm. Even when it was just one more toe over the blue line, I would have win. You know, Zaddy Zan took his time and just you know bloop, and we really got to see an emotional Zan. And when I rewatched the episode, I cried a little bit because I don't feel like with everyone in the season, we got to hear their stories. And I don't think that we ever really got to hear Xander's story. And, you know, Xander was emotional when Jeff put the necklace around his neck.
It was a great moment.
Yeah. And he was talking about how when he was younger, he was chubbier, was teased a little bit. And, you know, he joined the cross country track to really kind of give him stability and not just to like lose weight, but he wanted to feel like he was a part of something. And, you know, then the clips that they were showing young Zaddy, it just was great because I feel like, a little Zad. I just feel like it's something that everyone can relate to. Like, you know, when you think back to your childhood, you think about, you know, just the things that you've had to overcome or where you are.
You've come. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where you are today and like what you could say to your little self, I think is really important. And so it was really emotional to Zan. So like, you know, here on the Purple Pants podcast, we are all about like uplifting and, you know, speaking things into existence and really like talking about your past, because your past is the gateway to your future. So I do want to offer this question to you guys, like where you guys are at today in life, Wendell being a very successful entrepreneur, winning Survivor, host of many HGTV shows. Jack, you are... No, wait, why y'all laughing? This is a serious moment.
You just listed off a good resume for Wendell. And it's like, Jack, you are
no, here. Let me finish. Jack,
cool hats, tall.
Jack, you are a reality fan lover. You're at a prestigious school. Your GPA is very high. Before you came to the Bryson Wynn Presents, you finished a paper. Like, you got on the circle. You are like in the midst of like you becoming the best you that you could be. But I would love to know, what is something that you guys would say to your like 9-year-old self today?
Ooh. Go ahead.
I would just say, be open. Be open, be willing to try things, be willing to, you know, take jumps, take leaps, and experiment with things.
I mean, I would say something very similar. Yeah. My policy for myself and just in general is like, if you have an opportunity, always take a shot at it. Even if it goes bad, you're going to learn something out of it and improve and get better. And it's better than just, you know, sitting home and not doing anything and just remaining stagnant. So, but I do look back. I can really relate to Xander, obviously, with this, because not only are we close friends, but we're the same age. We're both huge Survivor fans. Like, looking back to my younger self, who was on the couch at home at like age 14, just binge watching season after season of Survivor. It is crazy. Like this weekend, for example, or last night at the party, or like this weekend being Hearts of Reality, like meeting people that I looked up to when I was a teenager and who I felt like, you know, through the subtly through the lens of the show are people that are kind of guiding you on what it means to like become a man or become, or like how to treat people with respect. So to then see these people that I looked up to, including you guys, and be able to like hang out and not truly just vibe and get along, it's kind of like a more tangible sign of like how far I think I've come since then. So it was super dope.
I think what's cool about you, Jack, is you had goals, and like, you were the youngin' at Hearts of Reality when we met you, you know, and you were like, guys, I'm going to compete in South Africa. I'm like, who's this tall ass
right
dude coming to South Africa? All right, cool.
Hey, God. Hey, Wendell. Hey, bro.
We were on the porch. I know exactly where I met Jack. And it was after I met Justice and his family. And Justice had a Black Lives Matter shirt on. His dad was talking about their trip, the trip that they go on where you get to learn about civil rights icons. And I'm standing, it was so hot upstairs. We were all dancing that night, the first night, the People Magazine party. I'm outside and Jack's just this tall dude in the corner next to me. He's like, I'm going to South Africa with you guys. And then for real. And then you got on the circle and now we are so like, I know I'm the addition to this podcast this season, but you know, Bryce is my best friend and we're so lucky and appreciative to have you, this brilliant, young, different mind on the podcast with us. So,
I appreciate that more than I could put into words right now. So I really do appreciate you guys. Bryce, I appreciate you throwing out that question to talk about, because it's important to, I mean, like the season of Survivor, like I said, I was super emotional last night. It's crazy that a TV show and the people that are on it and the people that you connect with and meet through that, how much it can impact you in the moment and just overall. So good. Yeah. Good question, Bryce.
No,
you should have a podcast or something.
One of the things that I find so special is that, again, like as much as an outgoing person as I am, I'm also like an introvert. And sometimes I like to just be invisible and watch. And I like yesterday, and even at Hearts of Reality with you, Jack, the thing that I find so special and it like makes me smile is that I love when I can see people that walk up to you and you're like, hey, you're Jack from the circle, you know, but like, I listen to you on the Purple Pants podcast. Like you're a mate. Like, I don't know why. Like for me, that just is like, they make me feel like a proud mama bear. Mm-hmm. And you know, like it does like, I love the fact that like people like are invested in like, you know, they know your journey, but so that it was for me important when Xander talked about that and just ran to my ex myself. The one thing that I would tell my younger self is that like what they are teasing you about now is the thing that will propel propel you to be the best version of yourself. And so don't run away from what people are teasing you about. Run towards it. So that's the one thing that I would say to myself. And I wish that I had someone in my life telling me that at a younger age, because I feel like I would be just at a different spot in my life. But, you know, with life transition, you are where you are supposed to be. And so it was just very special to see Xander tell his story and just to go on that journey. And I feel like this whole new era of Survivor, I feel like we get to go on the journey with them. We get to see their journey of like who they are and where they've been.
Yeah, yeah. And those cutscenes that they included throughout the season, you know, we had the one with Xander last night. We had one with JD in an early episode. I think we had one with Deshaun, Erica, Jeannie. You know, those Ricard, those quick little 1 minute cutscenes, I think can show you a lot about where someone's come from and where like how that affects where they're at now. And I think that's great in terms of like the character development of the show.
Or you see it in their gameplay, like Tiffany talking about losing her mother and her having a, I don't know, like, is it a vasectomy?
It was a pre-op breast, like breast treatment, I think, right?
Yes.
And something like that, yeah.
And she's the true definition of a survivor. So when you see her out there and she's like, I can't trust the other, like, you know what I mean? Like, you see that, like, instinct, you get to see it in them. And I love what they are doing with the editing. And if, like, you know, anybody in Survivor is listening, continue to do it. Do more of it, I'd say. What I do find interesting is now that Xander has the Zaddy welterweight immunity, you know, now it's like
Zaddy of the year.
Zaddy of the year. Now it's like, you know, now people are like coming to you, like, you know, I want to talk to you. Now, I got a question for Jack and Wendell. My take on this is, and I always think it's so like Deshaun started off. I was like, well, I guess I'll start off and talk to you with the one-on-ones. If it's me, F you, I don't want to talk to you. But that's why I'm third boot. But
you don't want to talk to Deshaun talk to nobody.
I feel like if I did not win immunity, I'm not kissing the ring.
Oh, you gotta kiss it.
I mean, I know you do, but I know, but like, it gets me mad because
you got too much pride. You gotta sit your pride aside and Survivor, brother. Every single day, you have to talk to every single person on that island multiple times, period.
Not that I would not talk to you, but I'm not having this ceremonial
sort of,
like, I'm not like pitching myself to you. Like, I feel like my ashes got me third boot, but I'm saying, like, it's just something weird about it that always, for me, it's just like,
because at that point in the game, it is such a blatant, like, you know, you're the person making the decision.
Right.
It's the last decision of the game. Basically, like, let me put the cards on the table and try to win you over.
Am I really going to change your mind? Like, you going to do what you want to do?
I mean, I think there's power in persuasion for sure.
And you go down swinging.
I could go down swinging by sitting my butt on the thing and just practicing fire.
No.
Okay.
I mean, you could, but you want to work every ankle.
Now, Heather's pitch, and I liked Heather's pitch. Heather's pitch was like, you think you can beat Erica? Just let you know, like, she could beat you. And Xander was like, no, I don't think that she can beat me, which I think is an interesting approach. And what also was interesting is that, like, Xander had decided to bring Tell Erica. Her that, so that I'm bringing you. And then come to find out, baby girl ain't that really good at making fire. And Xander's whole plan was, he was like, and I guess it made sense. Xander was like, I originally did not want to put her up to make fire, because if she does make fire, then it just builds her resume even more, which actually I think is pretty smart. I don't think that would have ever been something that I would have been weighing. But then when he sees that she can't make fire, he's like, ugh, did I make the wrong decision? What are your thoughts on when you decide who you're bringing? Should you just allow them to do the kiss the ring ceremony and then you have it at tribal, or you tell the person?
So, I mean, I have an idea that I think in theory it's good, but I wonder how it would work in practice. Say Xander wants Deshaun gone in this situation. Why not say, Deshaun, I'm bringing you, bro. You're coming with me. You're good. Erica and Heather go practice. And then at the tribal, you're like, sorry, Deshaun, I need your ass gone, so I didn't want you to practice. You're going up against so-and-so. In theory, I feel like that's a great way to get the person you want out, but I feel like it's also a great way to burn a bridge, because I feel like at this point in Survivor, it's sort of like common practice to just kind of announce who you're bringing and let the other people practice. It's kind of like courtesy. So for me, I guess if someone did that to me, I might be like, you're not even gonna give me a chance, bro. Like, screw you. I'm not voting for you. Maybe I would, but maybe I would respect the move and be like, yo, that's pretty smart. I'll respect it. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I think it does depend on the jury. It probably depends on where you stand in the game. You know, if you really need this one person out and you think you're going to win the rest of the jury, then maybe you do that. But if you need kind of the whole favor of the jury, then maybe you don't. I think it's situational, but it could be a smart thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's a smart thing to do to play the person. But I also think at this point in the game, it's jury votes. And I need every jury vote that I can get. And we see ultimately that Xander, which was rather interesting to me. This was very telling to me when we were at this tribal and Xander is giving his reasoning as to why he is bringing Erica. And he talks about Deshaun's truth bombs. And he says that like his perception of the jury was that they were agreeing with Deshaun about Erica, like
not being a big threat,
And clearly now we don't know if this is the edited, but everybody in the jury was like,
yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I think Xander's decision-making, given his perception of the game, was great. It's just, it's hard to always have the accurate perception, you know? And if I was in his shoes, I also would have thought Deshaun might have been more of a threat than Erica. Now, I think there's a lot of things in the edit that we haven't seen about Erica's gameplay, because apparently Erica to me is a very smart player. In the context of this season, I don't know if she did a crazy amount. I could see seasons where she pulls fantastic moves, like super smart stuff. She may have done it here, but we didn't really see it that much. So from watching it at home, you know, I thought what Xander should have done was put himself in fire making with Deshaun.
Do that?
Yeah. Well, Dom almost did it with Wendell. But in hindsight, I guess the best move would have been to put himself in fire with Erica. And also, I kind of thought it was a no-brainer just because Xander is so good at making fire. I live with this kid. He would be in our back lot practicing making fire every day. And you saw in the episode, he can do it in like 10 seconds.
Right.
Now, I understand the logic of like, if you somehow lose fire and then you go to the jury and they say, oh, if you made it, we were voting for you, it would be hard to like live with yourself. So I think he just wanted to be able to go to final three and pitch his case. And I do agree with the logic of taking Erica. If you think, hey, I think I could beat Erica. If she beats someone in fire, she might then beat me. It's like, well, then just play it safe and bring her. But there's definitely a lot of the fire making I don't love, because I think in general, it's like a simple sort of concept, but within this situation there was a lot of layers to the thinking that you could have done.
I love Xander, clearly I'm not shy about that. I do think that Xander's Achilles heel this season might have been his ability to actually like read a room, in the sense of like, and I don't mean that like shadily or anyway, I'm saying like I think that like I think that in his mind, I don't think that he ever saw Erica as a threat, and I think that he never, maybe as a person outside looking in, like I don't think that he ever looked or considered Erica as a viable, like, you know what I mean? I don't think that he saw her. Like, I don't think that he, and again, I can understand why.
No, that's exactly, yeah.
There's these big targets, like, you know, the Shans, mm-hmm. the Ricards. And I think that him that one detail, I think, really could have changed things for Xander. Like, what do you think?
That's Xander? True. I mean, oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Don't Jack. Go ahead. I want to hear what you say.
Well, I think that's true. And I want to throw some, I think this season for Xander, he was dealt a tough hand. Like, if you look at this jury, who on the jury is really going to be predisposed to wanting to work with Xander, wanting to vote for Xander, you know, especially with the progressive nature of this season, it's going to be tough to get the votes of a Shan or a Liana when a Deshaun or Erica are there. Or it might be tough to get the votes of a Heather or a Tiffany when they're older women and they might look as you, you know, a 20-year-old frat kid. It might be tough to get their votes. And so I think, you know, however he played it, it could have been tough, you know, because some seasons the winner is going to depend on the jury. You know, sometimes the jury thinks so, like take Ko Rong, for example, the jury preferred Michelle. There might be some juries that prefer Aubrey. And so it's just kind of comes down to the breakdown of the jury. But I do agree with you, Bryce. I think his decisions with the information that he, like how he processed it, I think were really smart, but just the information, how he, like what was coming in was a little bit misperceived.
Again, yeah. Sometimes being smart doesn't always mean that, like, you know, like they always say you can be like book smart, but then sometimes there's like street smarts, like that whole case. What do you have to say, Wendell?
I just always say that I think that I got on Survivor at the right time. And I always look back and say, man, if I would have gotten on when I was in my early 20s, then there are so many things that I would have thought that I could read or thought that I could say or thought that I could get away with out there. Whereas when I got on in my early 30s, I was like, man, life has humbled me. I've had highs. I've had lows. I've been through a lot. So when I get out here, I don't think that everything I say or everything that I read is necessarily the right thing.
Yeah.
In Xander's, how old is he?
21 now. He was 20 during the season. But I went to that point, and I don't mean to interrupt. I do think he had the know-it-all at certain points to say, you know what? Maybe I did read that wrong. And I acted how I acted based on how I perceived the situation. But if that was wrong, then that's a flaw in my game. And I can acknowledge that. I thought that was very mature of him. Now, I don't know if that's what you were getting to, but.
Well, if you don't acknowledge that, then it's even worse. So the best case scenario is if you have these flaws and they're brought to your attention for you to acknowledge it and recognize that.
Because everyone has flaws in everyone's game. So it's like,
I wouldn't necessarily say that that is a Xander flaw. What I would say is that, like, they're lived experiences in the sense of, like, and I feel like, you know, it's just you live and you learn, and that, like, you know, this is a growing process. Like, you know, we're all on a journey. So, yeah.
And my last point is, so aside from the fact that having more life experience can help you in Survivor, I also think that going forward now with the new initiative, with the 50% BIPOC, these casts are going to look like a rainbow all the time. Yeah. These juries are going to look like a rainbow. So,
and that's how it should be, but it's not going to make it easier for Xander, but it shouldn't be easier for Xander. I mean, that's the point.
But I mean, it depends on Xander's game.
Right.
Well, true.
Yeah.
It's a level playing field, right?
Well, exactly. Because if you go back to the past where it wasn't a level playing field, then Xander's going to win more often. And
which they have
for Xander, in this situation, I wish Xander could have gotten that, but it is, like you said, it's a level playing field now, so there's not that benefit, I guess.
And so now we're gonna the winners, like, we're, it's gonna be a new, it's gonna
a
be
new, a melting pot of what, yeah,
yeah, and it's, yeah. I think it's gonna be.
And that's how it should
awesome.
Be. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. It's a new era. And I feel like.
Era.
You know what I meant. I just feel like it is. You have to be good at all things. You can't just be a challenge piece. You have to be a good social aspect. You can't be too social like Deshaun. You can't be too, like, you know what I mean? It is like, you have to be
very multifaceted. Yes, yeah.
You know, and I feel like
the jury's looking at so many angles that you need to be able to tap into all those angles now too.
And I think casts of this makeup will lend its hand to having more women winners and more BIPOC winners.
Agreed.
So, like, within the 40s, we could very well see 5 women winners. We could very well see 5 minority winners.
I'm looking for a LGBT plus person of color winner is what I'm
We're going to have another one of them. That's it. It's about to, like, and what, if I may digress for a minute, when we were at Hearts and I was hanging with a cookout. And I'm like, man, look at this beautiful class of people that just came. This is just, this is half of 2021. And every single season, we're about to have a new class of these, like, super diverse people. Hearts of Reality look different this year.
Absolutely.
Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
We're about every single, the amount of seeds that are going to be planted continuously going forward, it's going to change the landscape.
It's great for the community too. Like you said, at Hearts, like, it's just good to have that. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good for the representation, for people to see that, for people to see this diverse cast of Big Brother kicking it, the diverse cast of The Circle, the diverse cast of Survivor, and we all kicking it, and we're all like different backgrounds, and we're showing love, and we got each other's back, and I think that that is what is Most important.
Look at our party last night.
Okay.
Look in our little section. Like, our section was ridiculous. It looked like it could have been the cast of Survivor Now with these initiatives. Like, yeah. So it's going to be a beautiful thing. Yeah. But let's not take time away from.
Yes. So they go to fire. And baby Heather
got heated.
Okay. Heather was cooking. Okay. Heather was up there.
Now, was she baby, up there first?
She was up
while. I think they gave her a thicker rope because her flames were licking that.
Now, baby boy Deshaun, I love you and I know you listen to the podcast, but come on in here, Deshaun. Come on in here. Turn your volume up, Deshaun.
Have a seat, Deshaun. Well, I don't know actually what you're about to yell at him for.
I'm listening to you.
First of all, I don't know a lot. Okay, but I know you got to make a little triangle with the fire. I looked down, Deshaun just had like, it was like, I'm like, flat.
He was building a mattress with the wood.
I was like, Deshaun, we are rooting for you.
It sticks with social distancing out there.
Yes, don't social distance the sticks. But listen. Baby boy must have heard us in Hoboken because listen, the crowd was like,
they went crazy.
Deshaun!
That was crazy.
Deshaun!
Bro, when he got it done, we're all screaming, jump around. I'm like, we did it!
Yeah,
we did it!
I was so sad, not even gonna lie to you. Because I was like, if Heather gets in there, it's gonna help Xander's chance. But I love me some, you know, I love me some Deshaun.
That's all right.
Picks since day one.
You're in here to keep things a little balanced over here, Jack. So you can hate on our boy.
It's not a hate on Deshaun. It's a pro Xander. This is a Xan Stan podcast.
I was jumping up and down. I was jumping up and down, bro.
I love those moments of Survivor, though, where it's like, oh, my God, like, you know.
Oh, it was amazing.
It's
also the moment where I lost hope in the Xan W.
But all right.
XW.
Deshaun gets emotional just because he feels.
I loved his celebrate. I watched it. He as soon as he was, he's like, get up. He's like, let's go. I almost wanted him to go dap up the jersey.
That's what needs to happen.
No, don't encourage you.
Dab up the jury, dab up props.
What would Devil be like?
Yeah, props. We out here, baby.
Hold me back, props.
They can't stop me. They go back for one last night.
I'm going to do that if I ever get on.
They go back to the island for one last night. Then we get the homage of their stories. Xander feeling like, is it not the homage?
We got you.
What is the word, though?
No, it was,
homage? Montage.
Montage. Yeah. Oh, montage.
The montage paying homage to their Survivor stories. And we see that Xander feels like he is the underdog. We feel like Deshaun has had to fight his way through. And what really resonated for me, again, I got a little emotional, was Erica in her story when she says that, like, I'm used to people seeing me, underestimating me, not acknowledging me or hearing my voice because of, like, you know, who I am, what I look like, you know, and I got that. Like, I felt that. And I was a little undecided of, like, how I felt like,
it's a great final three.
Right. Yeah, who would I would like? Three. And the one thing that I can say, and I've never been to jewelry. Wait. We got the final three feast. Y'all know I be.
I thought you were about to say the merge feast. I was like, Bryce, we're past that, bro. I know you're still thinking about it.
It was the day 39 feast. Now it's the day
26
feast, but listen, I always want to make the merge. I want the merge feast, but I also want to cook the bacon out there. Like, I want to just be like, how you want your bacon? Crispy. Okay, like, wait, like, I paused it and watched and saw like the food that they had. Okay, so sorry.
You watched that this morning while you're eating breakfast.
Bryce was there with him.
VR camera.
Yes. So
it would be sick if you could watch Survivor in VR. Ooh. Anyways.
Oh, that okay. Come on.
You could like walk around the island, hop in the conversations.
That's it. That's the
new way.
CBS.
Holla at us.
I'm patent pending, so.
What I also think is interesting is that, again, like with this final three, I'm like, ooh, like, you know, the love of my life, Zaddy, you know, my brother Deshaun and my good sis Erica. Like, I'm like, I don't know. But I think what is really important that you can't underestimate is that, like, you gotta advocate for yourself. And it is like, you know, honestly, when I was listening to those three talk, I'm like, Erica's talking like a winner. Like, she is thoughtful in what she's saying. She's got the receipts to back it up. She's not disrespect, like, not offend anybody. Like, I was just like, you better go off and
you better work,
bitch. I felt like I loved Deshaun, but I felt like Deshaun's jury speech was much like his game, in the sense all over the place a little bit, kind of like taking digs a little bit, but, you know, being very honest and transparent. And I thought that might resonate a little bit with some. I also felt like
Xander was pretty.
I thought he was. I thought, here's the defense. I thought Xander's was good, and you know I love Xander. However, in comparison to the Erica, to the Deshaun and Xander,
I think his strategy was. I think he expressed his strategy really well, but this tracks back to what we were talking about. I think rooted when in his talks was were those misperceptions that made the jury go, "Well, maybe that's not right." True. So, like when I talked to him about, you know, his strategic decisions, everything, he's very good at articulating it, and he intentionally downplays that on the island. But I thought, but I don't disagree with you though. I think the story of this final three is what mistakes Xander and Deshaun made throughout, and Erica is kind of the one who didn't make those mistakes and was aware of her position in the game,
right?
And that's why she won.
And also, I think it's like the way I think that had Deshaun been an Erica, like, it's just that I think that it was the combination of the perfect storm for Erica in the sense of like her strategy and how she played the game was great, but also it was because due to the combination of her position in the game. So it's like I felt like her position in the game and how her style of play really complemented each other, because it's like I'm at the bottom. So if I'm gonna be at the bottom, let me make alliances. Let me make, you know, and then she was able to reap the fruit of her labor, where I feel like as a Xander, who was an underdog and at the bottom, I don't think that he necessarily planted a lot of the things that Erica planted. And then he was kind of sort of in the alliance. And then Deshaun, his truth bombs were really his Achilles heel in a sense. So it was just interesting to see. It was interesting to see the people's questioning. What took me aback was when Danny, like his questions of like quarterbacking and, you know, looking at it and quarters.
He led the discussion. Danny led the discussion. Oh,
that was
well,
excellent.
Yeah.
And I felt like when he gave Erica that like props, that I was just like, oh.
The props.
Well, when he just was like, Erica, I have to say, I respected your game. How, like, you know, when Danny did that, I was just like,
Remember, he wanted to get Erica out for a long time. And we heard him say that many a times.
And listen, on the podcast, I've been saying, why are they, like, you know, why are they going after my girl? Go back and check my track record. I'm like, why are they going after her? But we know, because she was at the bottom making a posse. She was at the bottom planting the
purple hair posse.
Yes. Okay. And then
purple hair posse.
Listen, and it's no surprise the queen, her favorite color was purple. Listen, the stars aligned. It was very interesting. Someone early on in the season had tweeted Erica next to Kelly, and they were like, the purple edit. And yesterday, Erica went back, retweeted it, and she said, I went back to avenge Kelly's purple edit. And it's like, I was just like, So
Purple Kelly.
Purple. So ultimately, the jury votes. Xander gets no votes. Deshaun gets one vote. And it is a landslide. And we are questioning. I still don't know. I was trying to go back and see, but it looks like
Danny voted Deshaun.
Danny might have been the only Deshaun to vote. And so, Erica is our first woman winner.
First Canadian,
first Filipino. Since we haven't had a woman winner since Sarah Lucina in Game Changers.
Yeah.
10 years, season 30.
Man, it's so hard to. There's been a lot of talk about, the Erica win, people saying so-and-so was robbed, so-and-so. I don't know if that's true. I think they all, in theory, deserve some votes. I think they all had their own strengths and triumphed in their own ways. Obviously, it's a shame that Xander didn't get any votes, but I think people acknowledge
each of them
played a solid game. That's not the ones he's looking for, Bryce. But yeah, I mean, it was tough to see him not get any votes, but just the social media I've seen today and everything, it's like people really respected his game online. So it's good that he's getting love and he's feeling nothing but love. I talked to him earlier. People yesterday were like, Xander, it's fine to be upset, bro. Like, you can be upset about this. He's like, nah, I'm chilling. Like, I'm having a good time. He did a great job at the end of the day. So did Deshaun, and obviously Erica crushed it too. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Erica a couple times, Deshaun a couple times. They're great people. Like, I wish them nothing but the best. Going into this finale, those are my three that I was hoping. If one of them wins, man, I'll be pretty happy. So
yeah. It's great to finally have another woman win, and it's great to have a Canadian in the third season that they're allowed to come play.
The Patriots not gonna like this one.
All y'all Patriots
can not play.
It's great to have a Canadian win. Now that we have this whole, we got a whole talent crossover pool that we opened up. The North can compete with us now, and I think it's a great thing. I'm here for it.
Yes, I love it. Congratulations here from the Purple Pants Podcast to our new reigning queen of season 41, Miss Erica. Very proud of you.
And then just to be diving into this quick, not to blow past Erica, but that's kind of what they did on the show, is Jeff's like, all right, guys, bring out the champagne, bring out the pizza. We're doing the reunion right now. Which I thought the format was pretty good. It got some raw emotion. It got, they weren't asking kids to write down who they think is going to win the game. They just had real conversation. Sia was not there, unfortunately, but I thought it was kind of funny. I saw people saying like Xander and, Deshaun just lost $1 million, and then you just immediately just hand them a glass of champagne, and like there's no food in their stomach, and then you start asking them questions. I was like, if I'm in their shoes, I probably want a minute to just go be by myself. But
yeah,
what did you guys think about how that all unfolded?
I agree. I don't know. I loved the raw reaction, but sometimes I feel like you can miss me on the raw reaction if it comes at like the expense of someone's mental health. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, Survivor is very triggering. And I know a lot of people struggle after they leave Survivor. They're not the same. There's a lot. And so sometimes I think that when you have the space of the live reunion, you've had time to process it. You could have had mental health. You could be talking with your family, and you can kind of come back a more whole version of yourself. Sure. So for me, from a mental health aspect of it, I would actually like maybe a little bit more space, but then you never know. Mm-hmm. Because then if you didn't win, I'm sure that's triggering to you as well. So I'm a little on the fence to it, but I
think given the circumstances, it's kind of the best they could do. But yeah, it was funny. There's that immediate, Jeff's like, can you ask Erica? All right, guys, bring out the champagne. Let's get belligerent. I don't know.
Survivor is a mind F, this game messes with your mentals. Mm-hmm. and they interview you while you're jacked up in the head, and while you they pull you for a confessional at that moment and stuff. And when you get off the island, Ghost Island, when we finished, within a minute they covered up the fire pit and they descended upon us with champagne and little meals with chicken and Twix bars. They had a party right then and there as soon as it ended. Mm. And I was in shock. I didn't know that that happened.
And Bryce, are we going to get to go to one of those, Bryce?
I was on a plane going back home.
But to your point about the mental health, Laurel just had to decide a $1 million winner right then and there.
Yeah.
And she also, this superstar growing up and through college and everything, got to the end of this incredible show and didn't get any votes.
Yeah.
And then had to hand $1 million to someone. She was messed up. And then when she watched herself, the fandom community killed her to where she doesn't engage with the Survivor community right now. And for us,
I'm getting a call from Zaddy Zan right now. Should we pick it up? Just on FaceTime.
Just tell him we say hi, but we'll get back to your story.
Okay. Damn. You're not a real Zaddy fan.
Damn. Well, all I'm saying real quick, and I'll wrap it up, is like at that moment, if we were to do our reunion right there, her mindset would have been shot. I remember her, myself, and Dom, we got in a boat. The jury got in their own boat. We got in a boat, and Laurel was crying the way back to Ponderosa and went right to her room.
Mm-hmm.
So your mind is jacked up. I wasn't able to really, I didn't do the rewatch, so I didn't see how these conversations happened, but I'm excited to see it because like, I can only imagine that. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of raw emotions.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Which gives me a lot of raw emotions in the sense that this is our final Survivor news for season 41. Till March.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got that teaser for 42, man. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Excited to be back with you. It looked good.
Yeah.
It looked exciting. So, I mean, should we save the date, guys? Should we come back? Or like, what, like y'all busy? Like, you know?
Yeah. I think we're good.
Okay. Well, you know, to all the Survivor
fans. Wendell's replaceable.
So all of the Survivor fans that have watched the Survivor news, we truly appreciate you. This is something kind of sort of unexpected. You know, it kind of formed our own little community on YouTube, and we appreciate the love. It has been so much fun. And yes, we'll be back in March. But as always, you can check out the Purple Pants podcast every Tuesday. I'll be dropping some heat always. And you never know, we might get some exclusive deep dives with some of your favorite players. You just never know. Make sure to subscribe to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channels. Give this video a thumbs up. Okay, show your baby boy some love. All right, y'all, we are out. This is the final Survivor news of season 41.
Appreciate y'all.
Congrats, Erica.
Great season.
Era. Congrats, Erica. Buy that Zaddy Zan. Yeah, we'll holla at y'all.
Peace.
That is going to conclude our Survivor news for the season 41 of Survivor. I can't believe we covered a whole season with y'all. Now we gotta wait till March until we get season 42. But listen, I'm ready, and your baby boys will be back to cover season 42 in March. Truly appreciate you guys for, you know, just the support and the love that you give the Purple Pants podcast, and especially what you give the Survivor News, Jack, Jamal, Wendell, and myself, and all of the other guests that we have had come on. We appreciate it so much. And if you could just take the time to make sure you're subscribed to the Purple Pants podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from, we there. Hit the subscribe button, write a review, okay? Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Head over to that YouTube, hit subscribe, give me a thumbs up. Yes, we will be back next season with more of your meat and potatoes. We're going to have more guests, so I'm really excited. And every Tuesday, I'll bring you some new Purple Pants podcast. You know the shows I'm covering. We got the church announcements. We got the Bob's message, Freak of the Week. So listen, you don't want to miss it. Thank you guys so much. And remember, it's a new era. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.